Back now with Day to Day, and back in the early 1950s, the art scene was popping in New York City with the abstract expressionists. Across the country in Los Angeles, though, the city was a cultural desert. Then, in 1957, a little gallery opened on La Cienega Boulevard. It changed everything.
It was a heart-pounding, romantic scene with all the right people, and they were all doing the right things, and it was a daring time.
They had a pool of interesting artists, and something was percolating. And then you got the spark, the Ferris Gallery.
The scene it created put L.A. on the art map. A new documentary about the Ferris Gallery and the post-war L.A. art scene is on PBS tonight. It's called The Cool School, and filmmaker Morgan Neville is here now. Hi.
Hi. Thanks for having me.
My pleasure. Well, describe the 1950s. You've got the movie business. It's going pretty strong, right? And does that pretty much crowd out any other kind of art scene?
Well, I mean, the movie business was an isolated little colony into itself that didn't really let in outsiders. The city as a whole was incredibly conservative. The environment was really hostile to art.
But there must have been artists there. What were they doing? Were they selling elsewhere?
The idea that you would make a living as an artist was really foreign to anybody in Los Angeles. And if you were going to art school, you were basically studying to be a graphic designer or a teacher. But you never thought you were going to make money selling your own art.
So along comes a man named Walter Hopps, and he decides, I'm going to start a gallery.
In my generation in Southern California, and people older than me, there were very few were even responding to the art I was interested in. I couldn't see it. It wasn't there.
Walter's an incredible character. He never graduated college, but he went on to become one of the greatest curators of the century. And he basically decided that LA needed to have an art scene, and he spent 15 years making it happen.
And describe him, because he was, in your movie, he's a bit of an odd bird.
Walter was absolutely an unorthodox person. I mean, though he thought like an artist, he looked like a member of the FBI. You know, he always had a suit and tie on, which he said was his kind of uniform for dealing with the outside world. He was going to be the straight man to all of these wackos and weirdos who were the artists. I mean, the important thing about the Ferris was that you had these artists in little pockets throughout the city, but they never found each other. And once the Ferris opened, there was a hub suddenly, and suddenly there was a scene. And people got into it. There were young, rich families that started to collect. There were people like Dennis Hopper and Frank Gehry and Dean Stockwell, you know, actors and architects who had a little money, who were really attracted to the scene and started hanging out with these guys as well. And so it became glamorous. And the artists in the scene were glamorous. They were good-looking men. They were surfers and beatniks and, you know, hard-living, hard-drinking, womanizing artists.
Everybody was macho, had Viva Zapata muscle. Because we were men.
Was it mainly men?
It was almost exclusively men. Uh-huh. And they would all hang out at Barney's Beanery, which was their clubhouse, and they would drink and tell stories and try and pick up on women. So that was the life of an artist they all aspired to.
What I think Los Angeles brought to the art community was a new sense of light.
I believe that there was a difference, that we were doing something, not better or anything, but something different than what went on in New York.
Describe the art itself. Was it a lot different than what was going on in New York?
The advantage of being in L.A. was there was no history in L.A., that they weren't rallying against any kind of orthodoxy or art history or art critical establishment because nothing was here. So they could kind of just invent it as they went. And their art reflected the city, too. Some of them were doing assemblage art, which was, you know, taking bits of garbage and detritus and used cars and turning them into beautiful sculptures like Ed Kienholz did. Some of them were taking pictures of the boulevards or doing paintings of words and signs like Ed Ruscha did. And some of them were using kind of the materials that were being used in custom car culture or surf culture, fiberglassing and airbrushing and creating these really kind of beautiful sculptural works.
And when collectors saw this art, what was their reaction?
You know, it was an acquired taste for some because it was so different. And I think the L.A. collectors grew to love it. And I think the European collectors and museums grew to love it. The only people that didn't love it in the end were the New Yorkers. because they didn't create it.
Well, one New Yorker loved it. His name is Irving Blum, and he came out to help run the gallery.
Clearly, the gallery that was the most energetic as well as the most chaotic was the Ferris Gallery. It represented something like 70 people at the time.
He and Walter Hopps, in a way, are the kind of yin and yang of what the art world is. And, you know, I saw it as the art world having this oxymoron at its soul, which is that it's trying to foster creativity and at the same time it's trying to make money. They represented that tension that goes on, and sure enough, there was a lot of tension between the two of them. But I think Irving was the model for what a modern art gallery owner is, which is a businessman, which is what you have to be. So he brought in people like Andy Warhol, Roy Lichtenstein, Donald Judd, many others, and showed them alongside these LA artists and said, this is all the newest, best art that's happening.
What happened to the gallery?
Well, it closed in 1966. Ultimately, I think LA just wasn't quite ready to have the scene that I think it does now. And Walter had left the gallery and then went on to have this incredible curatorial career. But I think the energy was all going outward. It was no longer going inward towards this young scene. The scene had, in a way, made it and was leaving Los Angeles.
So you still, as an artist in Los Angeles, you still had to go to New York to get recognized.
For a long, long time. I mean, it's one of the really rewarding things about spending several years working on this documentary is just watching, even in the time we've been making this film, literally in the last 5 years, I think the scene has become what it was supposed to be back then. You know, finally, for the first time, artists can stay in Los Angeles and make a living. And finally, these artists are getting real international recognition.
Morgan, thank you very much.
Thanks so much.
That's Morgan Neville. He's the director of a documentary about LA's post-World War II art scene. It's called The Cool School, and it airs tonight on PBS. Day to Day is a production of NPR News with contributions from Slate.com. I'm Madeline Brand.
And I'm Alex Cohen.